Lord. God bless you, saints. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we can commune with you in our hearts, Father, that we can pour our hearts out to you, that we can bring out all our cares, all our needs, Father, cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. We ask this morning, Lord, that you would do a work in us, that you will do an operation of the heart, Father, through your word today, that you will heal and mend, that you will bring out, Father, to remembrance the things you've spoken, that you will help us, Father, to lay this time aside, to be able to enter into worship, to be able to pray, Father, for the needs in our homes, for families and those around us, and to be able to learn something new, Father, spiritually, to catch that revelation, Father, that would stimulate and bring about a life-changing effect in our lives. So we thank you for it. We're so grateful. And we ask, Father, that you help us to be patient as we wait on you this morning and see you, Father, minister through your precious word, through your Holy Spirit, I pray, in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. If you have your Bibles, you can go to this scripture here, Philippians 3, 5 through 7. Philippians 3, verses 5 to 7. And I've been wanting to teach on the seal of the Lord, but in contrast, where we sometimes have a seal ourselves, the seal of man, and sometimes we mistake that with the seal of the Lord. You know, you can be a very zealous person. I think in Spanish there was even one called zealous, the zealous one. And it's something to be looked into. You know, Brother Branham had titles that were wisdom versus, I think it was faith, or Christianity versus idolatry. And within here, we'd be looking at other things such as maturity versus lukewarm. You see, there's some extremes. Sometimes we want to bring a balance, but sometimes you have to be careful that your balance is also not lukewarm, right? You don't want to lean on your armrest of maturity, but and not be careful that you're not leaning on the arm of lukewarmness. You see, there could be a fine line. I believe it takes the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures to discern that, right? Because both sides need to be preached, right? You got to preach sanity and the right sound doctrine, but at the same time, you got to be careful not. And you know, grace versus legalism. You know, you have a backsliding condition versus, you know, you have freedom versus liberalism, right? So we'll be touching on that. So if you don't mind, we'll have the Word admonish us a little bit and get after us and operate in the heart a little bit. I believe this is very important distinctions to be made. Amen. So let's look at Paul here, Philippians 3, verses 5 through 7. Let me get my notes here ready. So let's start with verse 5 here. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, not just of Israel, but of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal. Look at what it produced. Persecuting the church. Saul, why dost thou persecute? Why persecutest thou me? Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Amen. So that would be the anchor verse. You can have your Bibles there. Let's look at one at a time here. If we had a resume, right, it would show circumcised the eighth day, you know, check, right, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. This is the verse. It just cut down just so you can see the seven requirements he had met. And Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness. You have to be careful that your zeal is not persecuting the church, in other words. Because that's a different... Zeal is a passion. But it could be for God or it could be for agenda outside of that. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So see, he had that zeal. And some people could have called it the seal of God, the seal of the Lord. Bless you, my brother. You have the seal of the Lord. Right? And it could have been the seal of his church, of his religion. See, he was there holding the coats. I recall the Bible says, right, when Stephen was being stoned. So that's what his seal produced. What is my seal producing? What is your seal producing? What is your passion for, you know, those things that want to apply, where we want to say, they better be doing this for me, because that's my seal. I have the seal. And what that means is you're adamant about something. You know, you call it a pet peeve or whatever you want to call it, but we can mistake that. You know, especially those in positions, a father to a son, a husband to a wife. Help us, Lord, right? You to yourself, I guess, right? You could be sealless about your own righteousness, right? And don't get me wrong, right? We got to live upright. But are we mistaking the seal of the Lord for our own, the seal of man, our own seal? See, when he was taken off his high horse, taken down, brought down low, it was only when he had his conversion, right, that zeal of man was put off to the side. He said, all these things, because he said that was concerning the seal of the seal. He was basically persecuting the church. He was that zealous. He was that passionate. So passion is good, but sometimes we can mistake our own religion. We're passionate about in our own humanity, in our own skills, and use that to say, you know, to measure up how we're doing. But we'll see what the seal of the Lord is based off here in the Word. See, that's why he said in Philippians 3:7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. Seal of the flesh, right, versus the seal of God when he had his conversion. Amen. So I had a thought here, you know, it's you know, the seal of the Lord is basically be passionate about his glory, his people, and his purposes. So it's not selfish. But the seal of man, you know, it is passion centered around you, around me. It's passion in on my glory, on your purposes, on my purposes. And that's the distinction there. And we'll see how there's, as we're looking at lukewarmness next, we'll see how there's a basis there on repentance. So it's really something that you cannot do on your own. In Romans 10:1-2, it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, right? For I bear them record that they have a seal of God. This is an example of some, you know, a group of people having a seal of God, but not according to knowledge.
Right.
Amen? For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about establishing their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Right.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Amen.
Two different approaches to applying your passion. In Galatians 1, it says 13-14, for ye have heard of my conversations in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God. Again, he's talking about his seal,
right,
his previous seal, and wasted it, the church. And it says, and profited in the Jewish religion. Watch it now. Above many, my equal in mine own nation, being more, and then again, exceedingly, so like more and greater, zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Amen.
Right.
How many of those traditions, you know, or self-made traditions have we established, right? I mean, even something serious like, no, you gotta put this right here. The cups go right here. Not down, no, not on the other side. And we could be more religious about that than you're not even saved than if you're not doing it this way, right? And there's discernment, right? Because, yes, your walk will show externally. But just don't have your own pet peeve zeals of you know, mistaking it with the zeal of the Lord. I mean, the Lord's working on me on that. I don't know about everyone else, but it's in the Bible, right? There's the seal that of your fathers or the seal of man that reproduces, what, persecuting the church? And then, well, the seal of God, right? And in many places in the scriptures, it said, it is the seal of God that did this. It is the seal of God that performed this. The seal of God will perform this. So it's just two different approaches. And like how Brother Lise was ministering on the kingdom, right? And it's just two different kingdoms. So when you mistake the seal of the Lord and default to the seal of man, which is powerless and legalism, then Laodicea influence is entangling you. You know, that's a thought I had yesterday, two nights ago when I was studying this. It says, it is time to rise on eagle's wing, and because that is the anointing of this hour, this day, and this message, right? To rise up above the smoke and the clouds and the lukewarmness. You know, and later I put a thought in there that says that we give tribute to all the people that lost their lives physically, right, for this gospel and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing about it now is when we first become a Christian and all that, you say, okay, I'm ready to do whatever, right, go to the jungles and die for this gospel and all that. But interestingly enough, we're actually not called to die necessarily physically, most of us, but to live. And that's actually hard in a Laodicean time. Because that is the other anointing that's below that cloud right there. It's an anointing to just lukewarm, to make it by, just to do what's the age of people's rights. We'll look into here in the scriptures for that. So I have maturity versus a lukewarm. See, sometimes when preaching's going forth and so forth, right, you got to deal with both, right? Because you got the newcomer, you got the somebody, sometimes the preaching goes against your flesh, sometimes the preaching goes for your spirit, right? And you don't want to misapply it because we want to have the maturity, spiritual maturity, right? And I think this message didn't call you for anything less than that. It called you to a stature of a perfect man.
Right.
And the word perfect, lacking or wanting nothing, means that's actually what perfect means. It means you have everything that it takes for whatever it is, a perfect item, a perfect description you're talking about. It means it's wanting nothing. It's got it all, right? So we want to be that. We want spiritually. We want to have that. And, you know, we talk about maturity or being sometimes, you know, having a tolerance in the sense of, like, if you had to go through all these experiences for you to have the conviction, the maturity that you have, that you don't apply it to a 13-year-old and say, bless God, you don't have what I have. That's what that's talking about. In other words, that's maturity in display, in practicality. But don't mistake that to your own life to where now you're going to use that maturity cloak and have your own lukewarm closet. That's what I've been meditating on is, and lukewarm can come in many different forms and ways, right? It could just come being slothful too. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean you're, you know, full blown out there in verbatim sin, but it could just mean you're just wasting a lot of time. You're doing a lot of other, you may have even good things, but that are just not, you know, sometimes the priority, what you have to be doing in your personal walk, like sitting down and praying, reading the Bible. I mean, help us though, right? This day of distraction and this day of, I mean, you could even be reading your Bible on your phone before you know, bing, something else is knocking at the door. So far, this one doesn't have any ads. Hey, don't run out of battery. You got moonlight, sunlight, the son of the Lord and the son of the bride, right? Yeah, the light reflection would just get you. There's somebody that was trained to read themselves the Bible under even at night, you know, in the times of hardship. And, you know, being able just to read it even the night when there was moon out. So, the distraction, right? So, let's go on with the word. Revelations 3:15-17. I was reading the scripture before coming in, right at the same time that the recording was talking about exactly this. So, I know thy works. Now, this is applicable because this is to this age, to the church of Laodicea.
Right.
Chapter 3 in Revelations, verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Usually the things that you spew out of your mouth is things that it's a repulse, it's a rejection, it's something that doesn't belong.
Right.
You just cannot bear with it. Because thou sayest four things, Laodicea says, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. I'm perfect, I'm mature. Oh, that's more like lukewarmness to me. That's actually what it's saying. And knoweth it not. So there's four things. But then he comes back around and says, these are the four things that I say you really are. Thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. That's actually five. And naked.
Right?
Right? Blind because, you know, you don't even know. And then, so, see, lukewarm is those four things. Lukewarm is, you know, saying that you're rich spiritually and not really being it. Saying that you're increased with goods, you know, saying that you have all your doctrines straight, but maybe not. And then, in a particularly, the doctrines that matter the most is the doctrines that, you know, pertain to your heart, right? I mean, you might argue tooth and nail about whether if it was blue or green and on a doctrine, but does that apply to your morality? Does that apply to your spiritual well-being? You see, that's important too, right? To get everything, every word has a matter. But, you know, we got to make sure we're upright first. I've always had this analogy of like when you're sitting on a recliner or on a couch, that you know, you're sitting down, you're coming in, and sometimes you just put your armrest on the side, right? And that's good because you want to be able to rest a little bit. But sometimes we might even be sitting on her elbow, you know, when you're just so down and you're putting so much pressure on that to the point where if somebody were to remove that armrest from your side, you actually would fall. I mean, you're sitting on a chair, but you're leaning so much on these things that you actually would literally fall. And what that means is your relationship vertical with the Lord, sometimes we know we lean on all these other things that we're trying to substitute for that genuine relationship with the Lord. I've learned that three things in my life, almost like if it was like, you know, a tripod when you put a camera on or something, and that is going to church, reading your Bible, and praying. I've had it where I've tried to do these other two, but that tripod has fallen. I've also had it to where I had to have a night shift of some sort for an extended period of time myself. So early on in my walk, before the message came across my path and such, and I stopped going to church. But I was reading my Bible faithfully and I was praying. But I took a fall. Yeah, so things like that. See, those are the things that are foundational to your walk, because brother next to you can know 100 or 1,000 more things about other things that we're supposed to know about, but just don't lose your relationship over those things. You know, this message calls to a much higher revelation of many things of out in the world, how things are going to be, and those are all important. But don't lean on those things more in the sense than what we really need to, you know, than our, in other words, have that and this, but have this first. You know, have your, be sitting on your bottom first in that analogy, not so much on your elbow to where like if somebody removes that armrest, you literally will fall. That's a good way to check, you know, where we are in our walk. Is, are we sitting on our legs and bottom, or are we sitting on our resting on, you know, what are supposed to be for temporal? You know, they're there. You know, they're important too, but you really shouldn't be sitting on your elbows, on your arms, and that's just an analogy and a type there. So that's the contrast right there. Is that scripture? So Laodicea, people's right. They want you to be slothful. This anointing, right? They want you to be in lack the seal of God, missing the elder. So we really need to have that seal of God, right? The passion for God. And that's really the opposite. Laodicea is lukewarm in the sense that it has a disinterest. You know, we often hear that the opposite of love is hate. But I've also heard, you know, that another opposite of love is just disinterest. It's carelessness. It's not just not having a care about... not having a genuine, you know how Bible says that God will put a seal over those that sigh and cry over the people or the sins that are done in the city, right? In the sense that wanting things to be done right. So it's that passion, that seal of God,
right?
That naturally, you can't produce it. You'll lose it if we haven't done the inside out work, or the Lord, you know, allowing you to do the inside out. So in this day and this age, most, like, that's what I would say, most are not called to live to die physically, but rather to live. It sounds kind of like an oxymoron, but try it. try you know, living this walk when all these Laodiceans anointings are soothing you away to say, you know, you can just have one foot in the message and then one foot on Laodicea. It's Laodicea time in that sense, but we've been given an anointing. What is that anointing? Is to rise up above it all,
right?
We're not even called to go, you know, of course you have to die to yourself to come into this kingdom and so forth, but we're not even called to we're just called to rise above it. And we come, don't take it for granted when here in the next few hours, when we're going to enter into worship, when we're going to enter into the hearing and the preaching of the word, it's going to come under the unction, the inspiration of the word, because you've risen above that, and it's that glimpse and that revelation that's where we're healed. So let's rise up above the clouds today. Let's actually rise up above with on eagle's wings, the old and the new, you know, the right revelation. And, you know, I was meditating on those eagles, how high they can fly, and how the clouds can be really high, but there are certain types of eagles that can go even higher than other eagles and go really up above. I did some math, you know, it fluctuates depending on what you research, but some of them have it that even among the tallest of clouds, you know, there's some that can rise up really high, but generally speaking, among the tallest of clouds, you can either go away from it or you can go up from it. So the Lord's giving us that the way of escape he speaks about, right? So when we feel like we're entangled right there with Laodicea, sometimes you're Walmart or something and you're practical day or driving on the road and realize that you have an extra 30 minutes to drive or something, and just all you have to do is, you know, meditate on things of the Lord, hear a tape, hear a Bible preaching, or hear the Bible itself, or now with their phones and such, and we the Holy Spirit would immediately raise up above all that. That's how it works in practicality. And I believe it. So as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent from our own, you know, seal, from our own, you know, saying, Laodicea is saying, I have a seal of God. I'm rich. I don't need anything. That's what it said on chapter 3. It says, earlier verses, it says, that was their seal. I got these four things. And then the scripture comes in and says, actually, these are the five things that I can tell you about yourself. So what he's saying? Repent. And we were hiking yesterday as a family. We haven't done that in a long time. In the Gwyneth Conservation Water place. It's very beautiful. And it's a beautiful hike. And it was there was shade at all times. And we took a wrong turn like two or three times. And then we literally had to pull up our GPS and find out where we were on the map. And turns out we were like in these little, they were not even on the map, some of these trails we were taking. Boy, and then here's one that was really confusing because it was wider and it was like paved and everything. And it wasn't even on the map. You were supposed to take this little smaller one. And here I was telling the child that sometimes, you know, the one that look like bunny trails, don't follow those. And it's like, see, it's not always perfect, right? When you, it's like, and that's when sometimes it may seem that way. And my wife was just telling the children, you know, it's like, that's why when I lose my way a little bit, I got to go to the map. I got to go to the map that's not changed. You know, whoever's wrote the map has been out of the trail already. And we can hear the hearts buzzing. We were just like 2 minutes out from the road, so we know we were safe. But just that sense of, like, you know, and sometimes it's like you're making a decision. It's just go to the map. Maybe it just say you don't need to learn a whole lot. It might just say repent. This is what you said, but the road is actually just make a right over here. Right. Amen. And from there is where we can, that's how you'll be zealous, is by repenting. Yeah. Things in life are simple sometimes, but try them at home. Right. Yeah. Know is this, that the triangle of your faith work is patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. That's the maturity we want, right?
Right.
Wanting nothing. Amen. We do want to strive for maturity. We do want to strive for balance. Just don't get that mixed up with your personal walk, and just don't use the lukewarm, you know, the cloak of maturity to be in a lukewarm condition in your walk. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and to your virtue knowledge. So you add these things: temperance, patience, godliness, right, brotherly kindness, and charity. For if these things be inside of you, be in you, and abound. May the Lord help us with the abound part. Maybe they are in us, but how much are they abounding, right? They make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Grace-based legalism. So this is just two verses here. This is a very familiar scripture, right? All things are lawful, brother. I mean, how many of those have used that as an excuse, right? But then it says, but all things are not expedient. And we heard that before, right? Not all things edify. It says, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. But there's a very similar scripture that gives you one more glimpse of it. And that brings the balance. Look at this. All right, so get ready for this. Look at this. That was chapter 10. That was later. But what happened on chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians on verse 12 was, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. Pretty similar so far. All things are lawful for me. Now, this is where we don't have an excuse. But I will not be brought under the power of any. You see? So, yes, you know, all things are lawful. Not all things are expedient. But don't be captive again by those things that make you lukewarm. And you know, and confuse those two things. So that's a perfect scripture to put in our pockets there is that, yeah, the things are possible, not everything expedient, and not everything edifies. But at the end of the day, don't be brought back under of the power of any of them, especially again, meaning, you know, once you've been out and out of the power of these things. You know where the power is at. And again, he just said, repent. I used to work on a project, and I used to be very faithfully ministering. And it had a basis on it. It has a basis on it. I said had because I tried to remove it. There's two words that the basis was, and it's called faith and repentance. Like when you're administering your finances and things. And I just wrote it in there. That was my budget, faith and repentance. Right? And if you think about it, that encompasses a lot. You have to have faith for when you're making decisions. But then when you make the wrong thing, you have to have repentance. And then, you know, later in life, I figured, okay, well, I'm going to change it to this other thing, right? It's worked since 2009, but I'm going to just tweak it here a little bit. Well, it doesn't work. Because repentance, we might oversee it sometimes. You know, it's not like, you know, penance, like beating yourself over it. It just means, like, renounce it. Now, renounce it really means divorce from it. It really means, like, just... It means, like, truly let go of it. Say no to it. Walk away from it. And we know it could just be as simple as a U-turn. Like, for example, us, we looked at the map. It says, this is a beautiful road, but it actually says to go the other way. This is not even on the map, that road, actually, that I was on yesterday two times. And then we had to go back on there, and it's just that 1 minute up the other way and then make the right choice. And I was meditating on that repentance. Here I am walking back, right? And I'm just saying, it's so easy, yet it's so hard, right? It's so easy to do in the sense of you literally go the other way in faith and in action. Faith and repentance. So don't be brought under the power of any of these things. So sometimes we're trying to find out, how do I deliver myself from some situation and all that? And he says, be zealous and repent. Be passionate about repenting. Be passionate about going the other way. Yeah. That's the seal of God. Middle of the road versus a backsliding condition. We'll wrap it up here. Jeremiah, thy own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing. Recognize it, in other words, and bitter, that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of God of hosts. That brings about conviction. And repentance. And that's what it looks like is when I remember something that there's different people who have struggled with alcohol, struggle with gambling, addictions, pornography. And I was working at the Gospel Rescue Mission, and this guy said, you know what? He just comes to me and says, pornography is just, it's terrible. And he had this conviction about it. He said, it is terrible. It is so horrible. It is so wrong. It is so bad. And he just kept on going and on going and on going. I'm saying, see, that's how you repent of something, is to be able to say, it is an evil thing. It and bitter is when you really come to terms of how bad that is, those addictions, but ultimately, you know, faith is unbelief, because look what it says. Because, you know, you can have the symptoms of things, right? But we know Brother Randall taught us really right. He said, it is a symptom. Why? It just means the real sin is unbelief, right? Look, it says right here too, and thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God. That's unbelief. And that thy fear, or my fear, says the Lord is not in thee, right? But this is how he gets it. I wrote this sentence here, so if you haven't heard anything here, this is what we really need to get at. I wrote down, get rid of the spiritual entitlement parasites in your life that are fueled by disembodied devils, the spirits, right? By the power of the burning power of the Holy Ghost in your life and the Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, you know, these are things that are just sucking your life away. These are things that are just, don't confuse. Even infirmities sometimes, they could be weaknesses. They could be true weaknesses. It says, turn, O backsliding children, say the Lord. I am married unto you, and I will take you, one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you into Zion. The revelation of the bride. Return, O backsliding children, here as we wrap up, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, and thou art the Lord our God. That's the repentance part of it. I will heal their backslidings. Yeah. I will love them freely. Amen. That's perfect love. For mine anger is turned away from him, and I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as a lily and cast forth his root as Lebanon. Amen. From zeal of man to the genuine zeal of the Lord. God bless you, saints. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you.